Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. Honestly, it's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and talk about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's what we're going to hear from Richard in a way that only he can do, with words of hope, insight, and humor. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help get you on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. So let's get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Woodpecker Lips. So I was kind of unfamiliar with this term till recently when, don't remember who the sports announcer was, but the comment he made was that certain player was as tough as woodpecker lips. And I never thought of a woodpecker as having lips. Seems more like a beak, but I got his point. If you look up these things about woodpeckers, you say, well, why do woodpeckers peck? A lot of them aren't just doing it for fun. They are trying to attract a mate, so they'll do that. Some of them 16,000 times, well, 8,000 times a day, or one woodpecker 16 times a second, just hammering away. So trying to attract a mate, or some of them are trying to get into the bark of a tree for certain kinds of larvae, bees, food. But they go at it, and they're relentless about it. And if you've ever had a woodpecker, anybody ever had woodpecker problems, you're not likely to get rid of a woodpecker easily. So how do you become as tough as woodpecker lips when things get tough and you got to keep going? I've heard some things recently. I hear a lot of things sitting with people. And the longer I live, the longer I listen, there are certain things that I hear from people that they're going to come and they're going to go. Certain challenges, but there are other things that you talk to them and you realize this is never going away. I pray for certain people to be healed, my brother's wife being one of them. And unless she's healed on this side, his challenges, her challenges may get worse, but they're not going away. He's either going to quit, which he's not. He's going to get discouraged, which he could, or he's going to keep pecking and keep going. I have another friend I've shared with you about that I sat for 6 hours in a hospital waiting room while they cut her feet off of her body. She got meningitis and her extremities died, her fingers were removed, and her feet. So I pray for him quite a bit because he's got to keep going. And every once in a while it occurs to me to pray that her feet will be healed. And I don't have faith for that. You say, well, why not? I don't know. That would involve God growing new ankles, extremities, and new feet just showing up. And they say, well, could God do that? He can do it. I can't get to praying for that yet. Will her feet be restored one day? Absolutely. So I talked to ex-military people. A friend called me the other day, former F-18 fighter pilot. Another one of his guys that he trained with had committed suicide. Three now. And this guy was active duty pilot. And so I said to him, don't kill yourself. He said, well, I'm not going to. I said, yeah, that guy wasn't going to kill himself either. But things keep coming. Things keep coming. And quietly we go about our business. And sooner or later, you just kind of say, I can't keep pecking. I can't keep doing this anymore. I'm not this tough. So what do you do when it gets that way? And how are you going to keep going if it is that way? So let's start in Psalm chapter 9. And I'm going to read you a ton of verses, and I'm going to tell you why before we get into all these. You say, well, you just read a bunch of Bible verses. You're not going to make it without Bible verses. The scripture is the only weapon you have against the enemy. You've got defensive things, but the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, you better get you some Jesus and have you some scripture when trouble comes, or you have nothing to fight back with. You can hold your ground, but you can't swing a sword if you don't have one to swing. So Psalm chapter 9, verse 9, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. You say, but I feel like I've been forsaken. Like even if God allowed it or I brought it on myself, I think I'm to the point where he's just gone. You can't imagine how people I talk to say, I pray, I just don't think he hears me. I think it's just going nowhere because nothing's happening. I think he's quit. And maybe he's not forsaking me. He's just not taking my calls. Go to Psalm 23, verse 4. Most used to be a lot of people could quote the 23rd Psalm. But this is David, who was a shepherd. And by the way, on David, if you can't take on bears and lions, you'll never take on a giant. This guy had been fighting as a child to protect sheep. And so he knew who he was in regard to those sheep. So when he writes this, the Holy Spirit writes this through him, and he's communicating as a shepherd, he knows what that means to be a shepherd and what he needs as a shepherd, because he knows what his sheep need. And he says here, verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me." New Testament, it would be in us. "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." I know you have a rod, you have a staff, and when the enemy comes against me, you are going to protect me. In the same way that I fight off lions and bears to protect my sheep, when the enemy comes for me, I don't have to be afraid. You're going to take care of it. Now, if you don't know these kind of things, then your faith gets weak, you start to fall apart, you go back to old things, something to comfort you. I can't take this anymore. But if you will stay in the Word and around his people, godly people who are listening to him, walking with him, and especially people who know something about struggles, trials, tribulations, even persecution, get around people like that, because they got stories. They got experience. They have faith, a faith muscle, as it were, that is being exercised by heavy lifting that they have to do in terms of trusting God and believing that he's going to take care of them. Go to Psalm chapter 46. Some of you know this first few verses by heart, and it's not a bad thing to have in your heart when you get attacked. Psalm 46, 1, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling," Selah. It doesn't matter. We're not going to be afraid. He is our refuge. He is our strength. So he's the place, the person you run to for protection and for strength. There's nobody else. There's nowhere else. And he is a very present help in trouble. Now, back in the Old Testament, again, it's present. New Testament, he is not just with you if you're a Christian. He is in you. You can't get more present than that. He literally is inside of your physical body. So you say, "Well, I've got troubles. I feel like I'm under attack." Take refuge. Go get some strength. Where do you get it? It's him. And he's there. The thing about asking God to do something in your life is you don't pray and ask him to show up. He's already there. He never leaves. He is present, a very present help in time of trouble. Go to Psalm 56. And David, writing a ton of the Psalms, man, you're talking about trouble. This guy had family issues. He had political foes. He had been taken captive by the enemy. I mean, he had all kind of problems. And a lot of these psalms come out of those situations. Psalm 56, verse 1, "To the chief musician set to the silent dove in distant lands, a mikdam of David, when the Philistines captured him in Gath." So he's been captured by the Philistines. "Be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Fighting all day, he oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day, for there are many who fight against me, O Most High. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you." So he's not acting like it's not happening. He feels like he's under attack, and he is. He's been captured. He has been. He's being hounded. It's a fact. "But whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you." Are you to that point yet? You get hit with something and you turn to him. You go, "Okay, God, you got to take care of this. I got nowhere to go. You're my refuge. You're my strength. I trust you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? All day they twist my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather together. They hide. They mark my steps when they lie in wait for my life. Shall they escape by iniquity? In anger, cast down the peoples, O God. You number my wanderings. Put my tears into your bottle, are they not in your book?" Now, what in the world does that mean? That means when you're weeping, you're afraid, you're struggling, you're crying, it's as if God is collecting your tears in bottles. That's how much he cares about you. He keeps account of your tears. When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know because God is for me. And I have shared this verse with you before. I had no idea this was even in here, much less that it applied to me. When I cried out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know because God is for me. Now ask yourself this simple question. Is God for you personally? Or do you feel like he's against you personally? Because if you feel like he's against you personally, he's got some issue with you and he's out to get you, it's not going to go well for you because you will not trust a God like that. You'll be afraid of him in the wrong kind of not all way. You'll be afraid that he's going to take you out because he's against you. But David says, because God is for me. Now, if you know something as simple as that, then when you get into trouble, you say, God, I don't understand why you're allowing this. What's going on? But I know basically you are for me, so I can trust you. I'll trust you. In God, I will praise his word. In the Lord, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? No, he keeps saying this over and over again. He's reminding himself of what he's not going to do, which is be afraid. He's going to put his trust in him. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Vows made to you are binding upon me, O God. I will render praises to you, for you have delivered my soul from death. Have you not kept my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Go to the New Testament, John chapter 16. John chapter 16, verse 33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. So if you want peace, where's peace? In him. In the world, you will have tribulation. It is a fact. It's not going to go away and it's not going to change. I got certain quote unquote tribulation going on right now, but for a lot of us, there are things that are coming. We don't even know they're on the way. I'm not trying to scare you, but you think, yeah, everything's good in my house. I know people right now who thought everything was okay in their house and they discovered things that had happened in the past they didn't know about with their family, and now there's huge trouble. You say, well, what do you do in that situation? I am stocking up now for trouble later. You say, well, what does that mean? You can't cram for a crisis, a buddy of mine used to say. You have to walk with God in such a way that no matter what comes against you, you are prepared. You have stockpiled in your heart, in your mind. You are ready to go when the attack comes. And you know it's coming. Why? He just said it. In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. But if you don't know that he's overcome the world, you get in that situation, you think, ah, it's all over. Or why this sucks, and why is God after me, and why did he let this happen to me, and this is not fair, and that person doesn't have to deal with it. Why do I have to deal with this? Romans chapter 5. Let's start with verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produce perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So you say, well, yeah, I need some perseverance. I need some character. I need some hope. I need some love. You'll never get to those if you don't endure the tribulation. So the tribulation hits you, the challenge hits you, and you got to say, okay, Lord, I get it. You've allowed this for a reason. It's part of the process. Now give me perseverance. Don't let my woodpecker lips wear out. I'm going to keep going. I will persevere. And the perseverance builds character. And character turns into what? Hope. You go, wow, I'm not going to get run over the rest of my life. I can have tribulation. I can persevere through it. It's building character in my life. Now I have hope that it's going to be okay. And then you get hit with the love of God who says, dude, this is what it's about. And then you don't live defeated all the time or discouraged all the time or run over by the enemy all the time or believe in lies the rest of your life because you know what the truth is and you speak the truth when you hear lies and say, no, I'm not playing this game anymore. 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4, let's go to verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Now, this is a very interesting thing that happens to you spiritually if you're a believer and you're growing. your physical body will begin to deteriorate on you. It will begin to perish, die on you. Things don't work, recovery time is higher, so you feel like you are physically going down, but spiritually you're getting better all the time. So there's an intersecting point almost where you go, wait, I thought my life was over. And he goes, oh no, your life's not over. It's getting better. It's going to end up way better. Even when you're in a tough spot physically, you'll be in the best spot you've ever been spiritually if you'll just let me keep doing what I'm doing. Keep reading. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. How can you look at things that are not seen? You have to look at them by faith. How can you be a Christian and be poor and think there's no way out of poverty? You're struggling to find food. God promised food and clothing, and it's day after day after day, and you think, this is my whole life. I'll never escape this. Unless you say, God, show me that there's more. And then you read the scriptures and he's gone to prepare a place for you. You say, but I may be poor the rest of my life. And Jesus said, the poor you have with you always. But when you have faith, you say, it doesn't matter how terrible it is here. There's a day coming when I'm not going to be here. And he has prepared a place for me. And I will not be poor, physically poor, like I am here, there. Because I am going to trust him. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to do what he says. I'm going to go where he says to go. And I may not have much, but I have him, I have everything. It's perspective. And it's keeping your eyes not on what you see, it's on what you don't see. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And this is a passage Paul is talking about a thorn in the flesh, some kind of physical malady of some kind. And thank God he didn't tell us what it is. People speculate, was it his eyesight, something going on? It does not say, so we do not know. But Paul had some physical thing on him. And in verse 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 8, he said, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. Jesus prayed three times in the garden. What? If there's any way this cup to pass, not my will, your will be done. Boom, another time, finally, he's not getting another answer other than, no, there's no way around this. You got to take this cup. So Paul gives it three shots. And the answer he got back when he's praying to have it removed is this: my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. That was your answer. You said, I don't want that answer. I'm going to keep asking. Now listen closely to what I'm telling you. Stop asking when you get an answer. You say, well, I don't like the answer I got. If you ask God for an answer and he gives you an answer, go with the answer. Because if you keep pounding on and hounding him about changing the answer, you're wasting your time when he's already given you the answer. And what does Paul do once he gets the answer? Therefore, once God gave him the answer, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So God says, Paul, this is how it works with me. You want my strength? Well, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And you're weak in this area, and I'm going to allow it because that will strengthen you. My strength is perfect in weakness. So Paul comes back, bam. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest on me. So now I'm not trying to ask God to remove it. I'm proud of the infirmity I have because that's what God's going to use to make me strong. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Are you there yet? I don't know that I'm there yet. Do I view the things that God has allowed in my life that he is not going to remove as something to boast about or be excited about or like, wow, this is going to be great. I'm weak, but that means I'm strong. How many people you talk to and they've got some addiction issue? And every once in a while I talk to somebody, and alcoholic, drug addict, whatever it is, and they say, God delivered me from that. Boom, just gone. I'm like, wow, that's tremendous. Lots of other people, it's every day, and they're stringing together days, weeks, months, years of sobriety, of being clean. And you say, well, why wouldn't God take that away and just deliver them like he delivered somebody else? Someone else prayed for that, and he said, okay, that's what I'm going to do. But you pray, and he says, no, I'm going to leave it. You say, well, why are you going to leave it? Because when you are weak, that's when I'm strong. And you go, okay, So you wake up and you say, well, Lord, you know, I still got this struggle. He says, yeah, I know, but you're going to be reminded that you need me. You can't do this by yourself, and you can't do this day by yourself. You need me, and I'm going to keep it where you need me, where you don't get cocky thinking, oh, I got this. How many conversations have I had with people who go, yeah, I can handle this and get to a wedding and have a little glass of champagne and then, you know, throwing up, passed out, can't even drive yourself home, but you can handle it. Hebrews chapter 12, a few more and we're done. Hebrews 12 verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, referring back to Hebrews 11, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, why is it important to keep your eyes on Jesus? Because if you run this race, and even if you go back and look at Hebrews 11, the people who had run the race and finished their race, some it turned out great, some it turned out horribly, but all of them had faith. So you look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. So you say, well, the enemy's being hostile. Non-believers are being hostile. There are Christians in the world who will die today because of that hostility. They will be persecuted for nothing other than believing in Jesus. And they won't back down, and they will die, or a family member will die. You say, well, how can I persevere through that? You got to keep your eyes on Jesus, because he went through all that. You keep it on him who endured such hostility from sinners himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. So when's the last time you broke out where blood's coming out your sweat pores because you're fighting so hard against sin? That hadn't happened to me. If I had to fight against the enemy, sure, but not like that. So when I go to get discouraged or overwhelmed and say, I can't do this, he says, look at me. Keep your eyes on me. I've done this. I'm not just with you. I'm in you. I am going to carry you. I'm going to do this in and through you. Trust me. And I go, okay, here we go. And all of a sudden you lift up the hands that hang down, the feeble knees, you run, you walk, you don't faint, you're not weary. And you go, I have no idea. He just carried me. There's no other explanation.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
Revelation 21. Revelation 21, verse 1. And there's any number of verses there in Revelation that are very encouraging. This one helps me. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. They are gone. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. But what do you do until then? You keep your woodpecker lips sharp, and you keep pecking, and you keep trusting. Even when you say, Lord, I can't take this anymore, he says, I can. I don't know what to do. I do. Trust me. Follow me. Read my word. Don't believe the lies. Stay around other believers. Serve. Trust. Follow. I got you. I got this. I'm way ahead of you. It's not just that he's gone to prepare a place for us on the other side. He's preparing a way. He's always ahead of us. So what's in my future? What challenges? kids, grandkids, health issues. I don't know what's out there. I don't know, but I know who's out there, and it's him. So it's going to be okay. I just got to take this thing one day at a time, because sufficient for today are the evils thereof. It's not going to do you any good to get all wound up about tomorrow. You don't have tomorrow yet.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. There's only one reason we do this program: to take the planet with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our message and our mission. And you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to share with someone about the change they've made in your life. And we'd love to hear your story as to how the talks have made a difference to you. Give us a call. We'd love to talk with you. 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellistalks.com. And while you're there, check out all the fun and informative pages we put together for you, richardellistalks.com. While you're there, be sure to click on the Contribute tab at the top to send your generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.